Okay, Psalm 22, a powerful prayer about Jesus giving his life for us, the demonstration of God's love and great sacrifice. And also, you see in the Psalm, Jesus' absolute rule over all the nations, how we need that assurance today. So absolute rule over U.S., absolute rule over Russia or whatever other country you love, Ethiopia. Psalm 22 is a great prayer. And the Lord prays these words from the cross when he's dying in our place. This psalm was written about 1,000 years before Christ died. And it's really a prophecy describing what Jesus would go through at the cross. A lot of the Psalm 22 is. Jesus prays, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he feels abandoned by God at this point. You could understand why. Being killed, having his friends not be there for him when he was on trial and fleeing and hiding and so on. So Jesus, he's in terrible pain. His soul is in pain. And somehow Jesus, at that time, he's carrying our sins. You can imagine, you know, we're thankful we have confession of sin and we walk in cleanness with God because of what the Lord did. But you can imagine just your own, let's say your own sins in your own life, if you knew them all at one time, I mean, you'd probably collapse, you know, from guilt and the weight of it all. And on our shoulders, we're never broad enough to carry our own sins. But Jesus is strong enough to carry all our sins and the sins of the whole world. And he carries all our griefs. You know, think of all the tears you've ever cried and will cry. It's a lot of tears. Jesus carrying those on himself. And God's wrath and penalty against sin. Somehow that's occurring too on the cross. And you know, just a different application to the wonderful prayer, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's not a wonderful prayer. There, left all by his own self, and he says, Father, why have you forsaken me? But, you know, when you look, if you look through the Bible, it's really hard, if not impossible, I think there is none, to find a Bible verse that teaches that. Okay, there's no chapter and verse that says, the Father separated from the Son, and the Son was left all by himself there at the cross. It's an understandable connection, but there is no chapter and verse that really teaches that. What may be happening instead, now if you feel that way, that's okay. I'm not going to, you know, kick you out of the church or anything. But another way of looking at the prayer is this is Jesus as a human being in great pain and agony. This is Jesus in his humanness. Okay. And when you think about it, it's even more dramatic that here's someone who is one with the Father, and here's someone who's had wonderful fellowship with the Father from all eternity past, and in the midst of all his closeness with God, he still feels forsaken and devastated. So you, even if you're a trusting Christian and a faithful Christian, when you go through horrible times, you might have this feeling too. Oh my, it feels like God has forsaken me here. Okay, as Jesus is praying this. And so we know God's wrath is on the Lord. We know he carries our sins and our griefs. The Trinity being one and never separate, pretty impossible for, you know, the Spirit, Holy Spirit and the Father. Well, you guys are in heaven. You come back here, and help me out. It'd be kind of impossible, I think, for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to be split up. Often we speak of God, the one God, as if, the Spirit's in this room and the Father's up there and Jesus, he's at the right hand of the Father. He's kind of far away too. Really, the Lord's not like that. Okay. The Lord is one Lord. He's Father, Son, Holy Spirit everywhere. If anywhere he is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is there. Okay. This is what we want to, it's one God. And so even at the cross, Father was taken out on himself and the Spirit was grieving as the Son gave his life. So the pain that Jesus went through, very, very difficult. And perhaps you'll feel that way at times, although nobody has felt as horrible as Jesus felt, because he's carrying the sin of everybody on the world. Okay. And so he did it for love. He did it to win us to himself. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my God, should die for me? Think of Alan Gross. Remember Alan Gross, wonderful singer in the choir. Pastor worshiped with us for about a year. He's now pastoring at a church nearby. He said, I don't know if you know his story. He may have shared it. He spent 9 months one time in the hospital, 9 months in a row from a surgery, serious surgery that went bad. So his life was threatened, I think, three different occasions in that recovery time. 9 months, as rough as people have had it, I don't know of anybody who did the 9 months in a row in the hospital. But he said he kept thinking of Jesus on the cross, and really described here in Psalm 22. He said he kept thinking of Jesus on the cross and the verse in Romans that said, if God did not spare his own son, won't he, along with Jesus, give us what we need? Or give us, application, give me the help I need. God would give me Jesus, certainly help me through this rough hospital time. And he did feel God's carrying him through. Although many times I'm sure he prayed, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know. So what Jesus went through on the cross changes our life, wins our heart over. Psalm 22, Hebrews scholars say, this is really just pointing to Jesus, because David never felt some of these things that with the pierced hands and feet. And, being naked before people and those kind of things. Verse 6 and 7 in Psalm 22, people are yelling insults at him. This happened to Jesus when he was on the cross. Verse 8, people are saying, he trusts in God, let God help him. That's exactly what people were saying, you know, to Jesus when he was dying on the cross. Verse 16, they have pierced my hands and feet. And just a picture of the nails he took. And then verse 18, they cast lots for my clothing. Okay, even he died with nothing. You know, we're not even going to bury you in your own clothes. We're taking them too. And so there's the Lord, while we were yet sinners. Take your worst day. And Jesus, you know, looking ahead at that, said, I'll die for my dear ones at their worst, at their most helpless. I'll die in their place. And in union with Jesus, we have the forgiveness of sins. And so his sacrifice for us is not without, you know, impact. Charles Wesley said, it's a mercy all immense and free. For, O my Lord, this found out me. That has the cross found you out? You know, that it goes, whoa, man. The King has died in our place. And this news, this truth, this Lord has changed me. Okay. And we can always live in the shadow of the cross. And we can pray, you know, Lord, thank you for dying for me. I'm ready to trust and follow you. And he's a risen Lord. Charles Spurgeon, when he thought of the impact of Jesus' cross, he said, oh, you know, Mary Magdalene, she had seven demons cast out of her. But Spurgeon said, but I've had a whole army of sin cast out of me. A whole army of sin. Is that part of your testimony? You know. Well, Mary Magdalene, we're happy for her. You know, we're happy for us too. Whole army of sin cast out of us. Here's some pictures of Bible forgiveness because of Psalm 22, what Jesus did for us. A warning from God, you may be sure that your sin will find you out. Okay, God, you know, he grieves of it. He offers his son for it. And the forgiveness that Jesus would bring, we need the cross every hour. I like the old song, I need you every hour, most gracious Lord. Okay, I can't think of an hour where I don't need the forgiveness of God, except maybe when I'm sleeping. Okay, it's not an accurate testimony. You know, I'm at my best when I'm sleeping. I don't do any harm to anybody or to the Lord. Of course, we walk with God. That's the point. But you may be sure your sin will find you out. Give that to God. He knows all about it, you know, and He wants to give salvation and deliverance from it. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. Isaiah was told that, and all he wanted to do was die because he knew how holy God was. But God came and helped him. And God removes our sin as far as east is from the west. It's the need for forgiveness. It's a universal need of the human heart. And interesting, you go to any culture, any age, you could talk to a 4-year-older, 16-year-older, you know, cool 25-year-older, or a very cool 65-year-older, and they'll all feel the same need. You know, I need peace with God. I need the forgiveness of sins. Who's going to provide that? Well, Jesus will. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, purifies us from all sin. Not some sin, all sin. Remember the good song, "My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more." And it's a mystery. So we walk in the light because He's in the light. And it's a gift from God to have fellowship with Him. Isn't it wonderful? And it's truth. No matter what kind of relationship you have in life, and they're all, you know, meant to be a blessing. Some are meant to be thorns in your side, but mostly a blessing. Still, the one who is closest to you, one who knows you the best and loves you the most, is the Lord. He's the closest one to you. Closer than spouse, closer than children, closer than neighbor, closer than Christian brothers and sisters. Closer than enemies, who's in the back of your mind. You can't. That's all you do is think about this person. You know, I hate him. God is closer. And He cleanses us from all sin. That would be a praise to Him, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sin. From the penalty of sin, yes. Thank you. That's a completed work. He is freeing us from the power of sin. So that is the process, like maybe some change fall off every day. Even if we take them on again, they'll fall off again when we talk to the Lord about them. To Him who is freeing us from our sins and who will free us from the presence of sin. Okay, we'll always have to deal with the garbage of sin until we go to heaven. So that's the reality of it. And we experience this by putting our faith in Jesus, of course. The strength of your faith, I think is an important point here, is not in you. It's who you have faith in. That's the strength of your faith. Okay, we have a chipmunk in our neighborhood. He always comes on the front porch, you know. And I thought, oh, this chipmunk, he's like the sun, you know, he's there. Count on him. Not always. I put my faith in the chipmunk. It's like, maybe yes, maybe no. I could have all the faith in the world. Come on, get the whole family in there. Look at that. Look, here he comes. Here he comes. He's not here. You can have the biggest faith in the world in the wrong direction. It's wrong. It's wrong faith. Have faith in yourself. That's wrong faith. Have faith in Christ. Now you could have a little bit of faith. And it's who He is that does it. So don't make a big deal out of your faith. Make a big deal out of Jesus. Okay? Strength of your faith is who you have faith in. So the strength of your forgiveness is who is forgiving you. It's who's forgiving you. Okay? It's not in the, you know, the details of your confession. A broken heart, the Lord reveals Himself to, for sure, but it's the strength of Christ that makes you a forgiven person, not what we're up to at that point. Otherwise, salvation turns back to us. And so Jesus' work on the cross, his perfect obedience given to us in forgiveness, and that's why you don't have to sacrifice for your sins anymore. Okay, the cross is, of Jesus is the only forgiveness for sins. Someone said it's perfect, it's final, and so it leaves no penalty against the child of God. Perfect and final. No penalty for the child of God. You're 100% loved, 100% received, 100% clean. And it's a wonderful truth that we probably have to, you know, re-trust ourselves to all the way to heaven. And here's some more Bible pictures of forgiveness. Sin completely canceled and sent away. Jesus said, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. This is what he said to the paralyzed guy coming through the roof. Your sins are forgiven. They're completely carried away. That was a good word. The Greek, Matthew writing in the Greek, because not only was the sin going to be carried away, but this guy wouldn't have to be carried away anymore. He would get up and walk. And the same word is used to be carried away that Jesus prays from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Okay, forgive. Lord, carry this sin way away from what's going on. Another good Bible picture of sin. Sins are covered. Love covers a multitude of sins. This goes good in family life, Christian life, and you can use this at work, you know. You love your coworker, so your love for them covers their sin. Now, you can't always cover for their errors before the boss, but you can cover for them as much as possible. And then another good Bible picture to be forgiven is to know forgiveness is that we're favored unconditionally. In Ephesians, God forgave us all our sins. That he's out to bless us. 10,000 blessings today, if we stopped and counted them. But we're mostly trying to abide in a thankful attitude. And then to be set free or released. You know, in Christ, we're like a POW, set free. How joyful a time that is. What do we do with that wonderful forgiveness? We try to put it in practice to others. Jesus forgives perfectly. We forgive imperfectly, but we do it hopefully more and more like the Lord. When you find yourself, you have to forgive yourself or forgive others. Ask for God. Ask for the Lord's help in doing this. Because forgiveness is hard work. It's a God action. So human beings are not too good at being God. That's why we need God's help for the forgiving others. He's saying, Lord, you forgave me. Help me to forgive others. I find a wonderful prayer from the cross change lives. And if I pray it sincerely and not condescendingly, then it does help my soul to forgive. A Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Okay. And again, not condescendingly. Lord, they're so sinful and stupid. Please forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's no forgiveness. Forgive them, Father, out of love. They don't understand. You know, nobody knows the devastation of one person's sin on another. And pray for yourself, too. You know, Father, forgive me, for I don't know what I'm doing. You set the person free that you're been injured by. It's really hard. But like Jesus did, and then you set yourself free too. I saw a quote of a football player with the NFL draft going on. This guy, I try to keep it anonymous because he might be a Christian brother, but he wasn't drafted real soon. He was drafted like long, you know. Not in the first, 120 guys were taken before him. And he thought he should be like, you know, they should take me in the top 10. I mean, why not? All people feel that way, you know. So anyway, he gets drafted like way, way, way down the line. It's just like somebody offered you a job when there was nobody else to offer. Yeah, come on, you could come and work. But anyway, so he feels insulted about all this. They ask, how do you feel about getting, you know, picked, given this job by 120 people down the road? He says, this is rough. I think we both felt this way. He says, I'm going to think about this every minute of every hour until the day I die. Don't live like that, okay? When somebody sins against you, don't say, I'm going to think about this every minute of every hour until the day I die. Even if you think, well, that's going to motivate me to be good now. No, just please give it to God as soon as you can. If I spend every minute, every hour until you die, you know, with a chip on your shoulder about what somebody did or didn't do to you. You may have not said that, but you may have said, well, once I get them and once the Lord gets them, then I'll let it go. That's you set the person free, set yourself free, and then aim to bless the person and favor them. And then this one, you can reconcile with wisdom and protection, knowing friendship may not be possible. This is to the, how do you forgive a bully? How do you forgive a habitual abuser? How do you forgive a person who's not safe? You just forgive them and wisely choose. No, I don't think I should be their friend because they're going to keep, you know, they just, I can't set them up for more sin in their life by what the way they behave. And God's forgiveness is real. It's meant to set us free. He sets us free. We could set others free. Now, just a brief, now, how all the families of the earth are impacted by the forgiveness of the Lord. Changed by God's forgiveness. These are folks who says, yes, I trust the forgiveness of Jesus and I'm walking with Him. The U.S. seems to have the most Christians of any country. We're thankful because we know, as we see here this morning, it's not exactly, you know, visibly true. but in their heart, somebody's at home sleeping in thinking, well, at least I'm a Christian, you know. They're not doing too much about it, but it'll come. The U.S. And then we have Brazil. Who hears about Brazil in the news? I don't. But Brazil, a lot of people turn to the Lord in the big country of Brazil. Every year they have a March for Jesus Day. And it's bigger than our Memorial Day. It's bigger than our 4th of July. It's like, you know, millions come out to march for Jesus. Fantastic. Maybe somebody get that idea, one of you planners, and, you know, we could have a March for Jesus in Irwin. There. China, a lot of people turn to the Lord. Mexico. You hear Mexico in the news a lot. Don't forget a lot of brothers and sisters in Mexico. India, more and more people turn to the Lord. Not yet impacted by God's forgiveness. Poor Afghanistan. That's all I know is wars for the last 4 centuries. We're fighting them for how long now? Longer than my son Sean has lived. We're fighting Afghanistan. I'm sure it's good we keep fighting them, but I don't know who's coming back first. Probably Jesus will come back before we're done fighting Afghanistan. That's a sad strategy, but I guess that's what it is. Not many Christians in Afghanistan out of 30 million. Israel, not many Christians in Israel out of 8 million. North Korea, not many out of 24 million. Iran, same in Iraq. But people coming to the Lord still in those nations. And I put this up here just as a conclusion. The psalm does say the Lord it rules over the nations, and you and I are really part of people coming to Christ. And the great relay of good news. We influence our neighbor or our brother and sister, you know, in the family. They influence somebody else, all the way to the nation's capital, all the way across the sea. There goes Rachel Wilson, you know, in Ethiopia. Influencing Ethiopia. Ethiopia influences Somalia. And on it goes. And God's faithful to get the good news of forgiveness out there. Otherwise, people suffer eternally and for eternity. But let's pray and thank God for what Jesus did at the cross and the testimony of Psalm 22. Lord, thank you for praying at the cross. And you teach us in the worst of your moments, you turn to the Bible. This picture was of your love on our behalf. Thank you that the love goes to nations, goes to people. Help us to pass it on as we are forgiven.